Let us turn to the Gospel according to St. Matthew, Gospel of Matthew chapter 1. A well-known passage. A passage which many perhaps keep it reserved for the month of December, but we know that this truth of God contained here is applicable for all time, for all months, all days, all moments, in fact, through the year. Let me read for you Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. The fulfillment of prophecies concerning the birth of Christ. Matthew 1, commencing at 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. I'm grateful to Pastor Roger for inviting me to be with you, and thank you, Brother David, for welcoming me into the fellowship here this morning and to preach the Word of God. It is indeed my great joy to be with you. I have heard about you and Pastor Mulland and Mrs. Mulland through my son, Michael, and also God's dear people in Ballardreen. And it is indeed a great privilege for me to be with you this morning to worship God together and also now to share his precious word. I'll value your prayers for me as I minister the word of God. I would also value your prayers for the church, the Baptist church in the town called Ooty in South India, where God has given me the responsibility of pastoring, along with my son-in-law, Luke. We shall value your prayers for us. And it is indeed a great privilege that God has given to us, I believe, to be able to pray for one another, even though we have not all of us have met together, not all of us have seen each other, but prayer is such a mighty weapon that God has given to us, such a great privilege that God has given us to pray for one another as God's people. Do pray for India, as you will be aware that we have a militant Hindu party that has won the election. We don't know how things will be. There are some great men there, well-educated people who are capable of leading the country, but the religious part of it can make things difficult, but we know that everything is in the hands of our mighty God, and we need to be prepared for anything, and we know that God will do what pleases Him, and that is what really matters. And the church is there to glorify Him above all else. And may that be done for His glory. For our meditation this morning, I'd like to share with you one of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ. That glorious name, Emmanuel, as we find in verse 23, which is a prophecy fulfilled that is found in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Long, long before the birth of Christ, before the coming of Emmanuel, it had already been prophesied so very clearly. Even the name was given by God through the prophet Isaiah. Emmanuel. And He was to be born of a virgin. All glorious truths concerning the Son of God. And we bring to our minds this morning with God's help this beautiful, wonderful, meaningful name, Emmanuel. Is there anything better than that we can have ever in life? Anything better or greater than having God with us? Right here we are few in number, but God is with us. God has pleased Himself to be with us. When we are at home, God has pleased Himself to be with us. When we walk along the street, God has pleased Himself to be with us. When we travel on buses or trains or in our cars or walk along the street, wherever we go, however we travel, God is with us. No one else can really say that. The country from where I come, there is so much idolatry. And for people there to worship God, they have to go to a certain place, to the temple, or at least in front of a picture that is hanging up on the wall in their home. They have to have something. They have to go somewhere. And they have to have something in front of them. But for us, wherever we are, we can worship God. We can keep talking with Him. And that is one of the great blessings I have seen in my own life. While walking along the street or traveling, while in bed until I get my sleep, all the time talking with God. Of course, if somebody is there with me, I talk with them. But even in between that, whispering to God in prayer. I often think of a man who said, he always used to pray to God under every circumstance. And he had, besides his regular prayer, morning and evening and other times, he would pray a prayer of three words. The first and the last words were the same. And he would put in a word in between. The first word was, Thy. And the last word was Lord. And in between he would put in his word. For example, he was dealing with someone with whom it is things are becoming difficult. And he needs patience because that person is aggravating him. He would, as he is talking to that man, he would whisper this prayer, Thy patience, Lord. And when he meets with somebody and talks with somebody, or does something with somebody whom it is difficult to love, he feels he lacks the love, he would immediately whisper to God, "Thy love, Lord, Thy patience, Lord," and so on. All the time in an attitude of prayer. Why? Because we know that God is with us, and if He is with us, we would naturally want to speak to Him. Emmanuel. Well, Emmanuel means much more. Not only keep talking to Him all the time, but much more. But let me just bring this message across under three headings. First of all, the graciousness of this great gift that God has given to us. The gift of His own Son in the name Emmanuel. It is all God's grace that has brought to us this gift. We find in the scripture that this indeed is God's desire for man, that he should be with him, that he should be with his people. We learn from the scripture that the very purpose of creating man was that God and man should be together, that God should be with him. God created man in his own image, we read in the book of Genesis. Created in the likeness of God, thereby giving us that close link with himself. A great philosopher put it this way. He said, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in every human being which God alone can fill." A God-shaped vacuum in every human being which God alone can fill. Until God comes into the life of a person, he is not whole. He is not complete. What is vital in his life is lacking. But God wants to enter into his life and to be with him. And we know also that Adam and Eve lost that great opportunity, that great privilege. Every day they had been in fellowship with God, they could see God face to face and talk to him and hear him speak to them. They enjoyed his presence so much. But then, allowing sin by listening to Satan, they lost that opportunity. And as soon as sin came, what was one of the results? They did not want to come into the presence of God. When God was walking in the coolness of the evening, they went and hid themselves. And the Bible says they hid themselves from the presence of God. From the presence of God. Oh, what sin can do. What havoc sin can play in the life of a person. It can do so much damage to a person, but above all, it'll keep him separated from God. Man cannot come to God, cannot come into his presence with sin in his life. And the very fact that we here, though few in number, but we are here in the very presence of God, because our sins have been forgiven by God's grace. And we have the presence of God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. As a result of sin, it was not just that Adam and Eve tried to hide from the presence of God. God himself had to drive them away from his presence, from the Garden of Eden. It wasn't that he just patted them on their back and said, "I'm sorry you've done this, so you cannot be here. Please go somewhere else." The Bible says, the last verse in Genesis 3 says, God drove them out of his presence, out of the Garden of Eden. And protected the garden where his glorious presence was in that very special way, in terms of flaming swords, angelic beings were employed to see that man cannot come back into the Garden of Eden, cannot come back to God. However, we see God's love in pursuing after man. Although they could not enter into the Garden of Eden, nevertheless, through the sacrificial system, God made man, gave man opportunities to come to him. In some measure, man could again come to God. And in Exodus chapter 25 on, we read about God's instructions to Moses, the servant, his servant, to build the tabernacle. And the key verse there, Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, the very purpose of the tabernacle, God said, "Make me a tabernacle that I may dwell among them." It's a beautiful verse, Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8. The very purpose of the tabernacle shows us or speaks to us of Emmanuel. "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." God has been expressing this desire of his time and again, that he wants to dwell with his people. "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." The very meaning of the word tabernacle is dwelling or living, tabernacled. And we can see Emmanuel, the picture of Emmanuel right there. And also as we continue to read that passage in Exodus, we read about God's instructions about the placement of the people of Israel, the placement of God's people. God's instruction was that the tabernacle should be right in the middle. And on one side of the tabernacle, three tribes on the second side, three tribes on the third side, the other three tribes on the fourth side, all surrounding the tabernacle. And God wanted his dwelling place to be right in the middle of his people. And he said, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." The meaning of the word tabernacle. So we can see Emmanuel right there. We can see Emmanuel in the dry wilderness. We can see Emmanuel as God's people were led out of Egypt to the land of Canaan. He was there with them in terms of fire and cloud. God's presence is what meant so much to them, gave them the strength and the courage. God with his people. A beautiful, beautiful picture. Nobody else can really say that. People of any other faith, whoever they may be, they cannot really say that about their God. In fact, many who are claimed to be gods are dead. People will have to go somewhere to see the grave, and some don't even have that privilege. But we have God right with us, wherever we are. "I've come all this way from India. God is with me there in India. God is with me here." No matter where we go, can go to any end of the world, north, south, east, west, anywhere, God is with us. That is the confidence and the great strength and the encouragement for any child of God. Emmanuel, God with us. As we move along, 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 13. God chose Solomon to build the temple for him. And what was the main purpose of building the temple? It was not just that people would gather together and worship him. That is very important, of course. But look at 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 13. God said, when he was giving instructions to Solomon about building a temple for him, he said, "And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel." I will dwell among the children of Israel. I will dwell among them. Time and again, God has been expressing his desire to dwell with his people, to be with his people, to be right in the middle of God's people. That is why we are able to say, wherever we gather together, even if it is two or three, God had said, "I will be with you." Just two or three gathering together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has promised to be with them. And what a privileged people we are. Practically every book in the Bible talks about God being with his people. Gives us the picture, the message of Emmanuel. Brings to us this glorious message of God's desire to be with his people. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. There's the promise that we are all familiar with. God's talked about Emmanuel coming to this world. He gave that as a sign. Asa, the king, would not ask for a sign. Although God said, let him ask for a sign. But he said, I won't ask for a sign. Then God said, I myself will give him a sign. And the sign was Emmanuel, who was to be born of a virgin. Reading through the book of the prophets, time and again we read about the Lord Jesus, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the picture of Emmanuel can be found in every book. Then, of course, coming to Matthew's gospel, the passage that we read tells us that he actually had come. Emmanuel had come. He was born in and laid in a manger, but he was Emmanuel. He was no ordinary little babe. It was God who had made himself a man. And coming to John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 14, what do we read? That babe that was lying in the manger, he is the Word, who is God himself. And verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There again, Emmanuel. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. This glorious God made himself a man and dwelt among men. There's Emmanuel. In the hymn that we sang, God with man is now residing. How true it was. God with man is now residing. No wonder angels from the realms of glory sang praises to God at his birth when this Emmanuel came to this world. In that hymn we also sang that saints of old had been bending over the altar. And what was the truth about the sacrifice that was being laid on the altar and burnt to God, offered to God? God himself will come, and no more animal or bird to be sacrificed on the altar, but Christ himself would come as Emmanuel, and sacrifice himself on the cross, and he will dwell with God's people. Moving down to, let's just go down to the last book in the Bible, a well-known verse, a verse that most Christians would know by heart, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. I will come into him and sup with him. Now, unfortunately, the modern translations of the Bible have changed that word sup and has made it an ordinary meal. But the authorized version refers to an evening meal, a supper. And that is very important. Every Jew would know the value of it. For a Jewish family, supper was the most important meal of the day. Morning, all members of the family may not be there. Some may have to rush out earlier, and they may have meals at different times. Lunch, some may not even come home. But for the evening meal, they made it a point that every member of the family would be there. And breakfast and lunch may be eaten in a hurry. But supper was to be eaten in great leisure. It was a family gathering. Every member of the family would be there. And they would eat the supper leisurely and also sharing with one another their day's experience. It was a time of family fellowship, family gathering. And that is the idea that I will come into him and sup with him. In other words, God says, I will come into you and sup with you. I will have fellowship with you. Because I want to be with you. That is my desire. It is for that purpose that I created you. It is for that purpose that I suffered so much and died for you. Because I want to be with you. What a loving God we have. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That is God's desire. I want to come into you. It was primarily, of course, a message to a church, but also that particular verse is put in an individual form. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him. So in the life of every believer, God's great pleasure is to be with him. The very fact that God is with his child. What a blessed Savior we have. But then that's not the end. John's Gospel chapter 14, the first three verses to which we are looking forward now. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And when I have prepared a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. There again, his deep desire to be with his people, that where I am, you may be also. That is God's promise, isn't it? The greatest promise that we are now looking forward to be fulfilled. We are looking forward to that day when our Lord Jesus will descend in all his glory. Yes, every eye will see him, every knee will bow before him, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of and praise of God the Father. But we will bow our knees before him and confess meaningfully that he is the Lord of all, knowing that he had been my Lord, that he had been our Lord individually. And we shall be taken to be with him forever and ever, that where I am, they may be also. So all the way through in the scripture, right from the book of Genesis, very early in Genesis, right to the last part of the scripture, we read about God's great desire expressed in many different ways, his longing to be with his people. Let me just read the first few verses of Revelation chapter 21, with which also we are all very familiar, I'm sure. Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. In other words, God is with men. Emmanuel, God with us. That will be the eternal state of every one of us, having God with us. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And so on. Then it says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So there again, in eternity, God will be with us. What a glorious truth he has been expressing right from the beginning of his holy word. None of us really deserves this. We know for ourselves that we are utterly unworthy of having God with us. He is so holy, all glorious, all powerful, being worshipped constantly by all the mighty heavenly hosts, by all saints across the world. He is eternal. He is the omnipotent God, so great. And yet, what a wonder it is that God is with us. This mighty God has pleased himself to be with us. He longs to be with his people. This is why Christians who have been persecuted so brutally have given their lives, they have laid down their lives in great boldness, courage. There was a time in history when many Christians were literally queuing up to be persecuted. How many times of persecution that has been there in history. And yet so many Christians willingly laid down their lives. What gave them that courage? What gave them that confidence? Out of many things, this fact that God was with them. They were so conscious of the presence of God with them. The presence of God for a Christian is so very precious. So we come down to the next point, having seen the graciousness of God. Now we come to the preciousness of this gift, the preciousness of having God with us. We see this in the life of many people in the Bible. Moses knew the preciousness of God in Exodus chapter 33. Again, a passage that with which we are familiar. Exodus chapter 33. Let me just read a few verses from verse 14, from verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. God had actually said, I will send my angel with you. But Moses is not satisfied with that. Having the angel of God go with us, it would be a great privilege. It would be a source of great strength. But Moses is not satisfied with that. So he says, yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. And he says, 13, verse 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. He repeatedly talks about the grace of God and that grace being proved by God being with him. That is the point he is coming to. And consider that this nation is thy people. What was God's response in verse 14? And God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And how did Moses respond to that? That is exactly what he wanted. He knew that God had said, I will send my angel with you, but Moses now bargains with God. Sending the angel is good, but not good enough. I want you to be with me. And so he gets God to say, my presence will go with you. And then Moses says in verse 15, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Carry us not up hence. Moses knew the preciousness of God's holy presence with him. He knew how precious it was for God to be with his people as they were making that wilderness journey. He knew they couldn't do it without his presence. But it was not only for their protection and comfort. Moses knew the preciousness of God's presence. He had experienced it, and he wanted it, and he pleads for it. He bargains with God for it, and he got it. If I may add a personal, something that's personal. In India, when we send out wedding invitations, we put in a Bible verse invitation card. And the verse I chose was Luke 24:15, the end of that, the latter part of that verse, which says, and talking about the amazed disciples, remember? It says, and Jesus himself drew near and went with them. That was the verse I had chosen to put in our wedding invitation. And for my wife and I, the great comforting factor has been all through our 33 years of married life that Jesus himself drew near and he's been going with us. He's been walking with us. In other words, he's been with us. We've been through experiences of various kinds. We've been through difficult times. We've been through painful experiences. We have among much joy and gladness and all that, we also face difficult experiences. But the comforting thought has been, the comforting truth has been, and continues to be, is the fact that God is walking with us. He is with us. No matter what path we tread. That woman who anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus, we read about in John 11 and also in Matthew and Luke, we have the account of a woman anointing the feet of Jesus. Why did she do it? Such precious, most expensive perfume. She broke the bottle and she poured it on his feet and anointed him. Why did she do it? Because she knew the preciousness of the Lord being right there. He's there. She's in his presence. And she did that beautiful work of which God himself said, she has done a beautiful thing to me. She's done a meaningful thing to me. Every saint of God, every true saint of God knows the preciousness of God's presence. The best example perhaps would come from the book of Song of Solomon. The way Solomon and the Shulamite women, the way they are describing one and each other, the way they talk to each other, the way they miss the company of the other when he or she is separated for a time, and the way they look out for the beloved, oh, they express so in such sublime poetic language the preciousness of the presence of God. The preciousness of the presence of God. We have many examples in the Bible of God's people, of great saints, expressing the preciousness of God's presence in their lives. And we have this expressed by many saints in our own time too. And if we read many biographies, we can see how God's men and women have appreciated, have honored the preciousness of God's presence, how beautifully they describe it. Missionaries in many difficult places where there has been dangerous diseases, where there have been enemies, even wanted to kill them. Many, in fact, were killed in all sorts of difficulties. But what they would tell us is that the presence of God was so precious to us. It wasn't just real to us, it was very, very precious to us. God, may God be glorified for blessing us with his presence. And we need to realize it is all by his grace. Even that passage that we read from Exodus 33, Moses repeatedly talks about the grace of God. If I have found grace in thy sight, if this is really true, then go with us. We want you to go with us, not just the angel. That is good, but not good enough. We want you, O God, to go with us. And when God said, my presence will go with you, Moses said, if thy presence go not with us, take us not from hence. It's not worth going any further in our life unless God will be with us. It is his presence. We don't know what we will face. If we were to lose all our income, all the comforts of our home, if we were to lose everything in this world, as long as God's presence is with us, that is what will matter most. So many in India, for example, give up their homes. When they put their faith in Christ, they lose all their heritage. They don't even are given the privilege of continuing to live in their home. They are sent away from their home, having no place to stay. Or how many sad stories we hear about. Nowhere to go, no money, no food. But still, they won't give up the faith that they have put in Christ, because they have learned how precious the presence of God is. For them, as long as God is with them, that is everything to them. They are prepared to give up all else. All else. Thank God for the blessing that he has given to us of being with us himself. The preciousness of this great gift from God, Emmanuel, God with us. Finally, let me talk a little about the need for a consciousness of his presence. This is extremely important. One of the reasons why many Christians keep committing sin is that they've lost sight of the fact that God is with them. For a child, for example, who may want to get into some mischief. Say a little boy wants to do something, he's doing something, and his little sister says, "Daddy's coming." And what does he do? He immediately puts away whatever he's taken, which he shouldn't have taken, and he behaves himself as he should. What made the difference? Because the presence of the Father is going to be there. He's come so close. He's going to be there. For a child, it is so comforting to have the mother. For a little baby, the very fact that the mother is there, even though the baby cannot speak or express in words, the little child knows when the mother is right there with him. And when the mother goes away, he begins to cry. What is he asking for? He wants the mother to be with him. The presence of our loved one in this world is so important to us. For a man to have his wife with him, for the woman to have her husband with him, for children to have their parents with him, it is a wonderful thing. Something that brings us so much joy and comfort. But we know that we cannot have human beings, whether it is father or mother, our husband or wife, always with us. There will be moments that they will have to go away, leave us for a time, maybe for some days, maybe for some months, in some cases it may be even for years. Just yesterday or sometime this week, somebody was telling me about talking about the days of war and the number of women when they said bid farewell to their husbands in tears because they didn't know when the husband will come back. He's out there on the ship, and when he will come, or whether he will come back safely or not, was not known. Well, people have go through all kinds of experiences when their loved one has to depart from them. And death, of course, causes so much agony, the death of a loved one. Why? He's no more with me. But then, God is always with us. No one can separate us from him. God has promised to be with us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And this consciousness of God's presence will help us in many ways, and I'll just quickly go through this, some of them at least. Presence of God is so very important for each one of us, and it is so very helpful. It gives us much comfort and strength. And again, we have many examples in the Bible and from saints that we have known, and we would know it from our own lives. Numbers chapter 14, verse 9. There are the enemies, but the presence of God, the fact that God was with his people, that gave them great comfort. It took away the fear. They were saying, we don't have to fear because God is with us. That is the secret. Who will not have fear when enemies are coming against us? Again, Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, there it says, the enemies are of greater number than the children of Israel. They were greater in number, but still they are comforted by saying, don't fear, because God is with us. God is with us. In Psalm 46 and verse 1, the psalmist said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And he describes the worst possible situation, and one of them being the very earth on which we stand is removed from under our feet. Can we think of a situation more hopeless than that? Absolutely hopeless situation. But then in verses 7 and 11, what does he say? The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord of hosts is with us. We may be in hopeless situation. Absolutely no hope. No comfort, no help from anyone. But the Lord of hosts is with us. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. The benefit of God's guidance and protection to his people by God himself being with them. Even in the ministry, Matthew chapter 28 verse 20, what did God say? Go ye out into all the world and preach the gospel, and so on. And then he said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That is what God promised. Today, I've been sharing with our friends how today in India, students who come out of Bible colleges, the first thing they want to know where they want to work, serve God, is how much will you pay me? What salary will I get? What vehicle will I get? They're into all that sort of thing. But what did God say? Lo, I am with you always. He knew, he had already warned them that there will be opposition, that they may even have to lay down their lives. They may have to leave their father and mother and wife and husband and children and home, everything. But he gives them this promise, finally when he sends them out. Lo, I am with you, always. And it was that comfort of God being with them, the comfort of Emmanuel, that they went out all over the world and preached the gospel. Well, we can go on. We can find many examples which will be a source of encouragement to us. But thank God for Emmanuel, God with us. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? O God, how we thank thee for desiring so much to be with us. Lord, we know that we are utterly unworthy of this privilege. We don't deserve this at all. We need to be cast out from thy presence. We think of Adam and Eve, who were driven away from thy presence. And yet, Lord, time and again thou hast been expressing thy desire to be with thy people, giving man the opportunity to turn to thee. Lord, we thank thee for the many who have turned to thee, many sinners who have turned to thee in true repentance over their sins, whom thou hast not cast out, but thou hast gathered. Thou hast saved them, and thou hast promised to be with them. And thou hast done this in our own lives. And we thank thee, dear Lord, for thou art always with us. There is never a moment, not even a fraction of a second, when thou dost depart from us. We often grieve thee, Lord. We confess to our shame. We often hurt thee. We often disobey thee. Forgive us, Lord. Have mercy, we pray. Keep us from grieving thee. Help us to walk with thee faithfully and in deep appreciation of thy glorious presence with us at all times. Father, we thank thee for the many, many blessings that thy presence brings to us, all thy protecting care. We thank thee that by thy presence thou dost protect us from so many dangers and harms. We thank thee, dear Lord, for by thy presence thou dost strengthen us. We thank thee for that verse that says, times of refreshing come from the presence of God. Oh, how we thank thee for those times when we are refreshed. That refreshing moment, those refreshing moments that come to us from thy presence. Thank thee for the encouragement that comes to us by thy presence when we sometimes face discouragement in life, even in the ministry. We thank thee, Lord, for all thy goodness. We thank thee that wherever we are, wherever we go, whether on the streets, or whether we travel by bus or train or in our cars, thou art always with us, day and night, every moment. We thank thee for thou art with us. Help us, Lord, to be conscious of thy presence and to keep away from sin. Help us not to grieve thee anymore, but that we will please thee and honor thee in everything and in every way. We ask it all with thanksgiving and praises in the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. Shall we in closing sing hymn number 604? Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. 604.
Serve me as thy heart.
Dear Lord, we thank thee again for Emmanuel, that great blessing that thou hast brought to us. We thank thee for we are never left alone nor forsaken, but that our great and mighty God is always with us. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world, who through his death and shed blood has brought to us so much blessing, such great blessings. We bless thy holy name. We commit ourselves to thee. May we always be conscious of thy presence and commune with thee. Send us, Lord, with thy blessings. May thy hands of blessing, protection, and sanctifying rest upon each one of us, now and forevermore. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Amen.